Welcome everyone to the Goddess Vibration Podcast. This is Allie.
And this is Tiara.
Today, we actually have a very special treat in store for you. I have been trying to talk Tiara into doing this for a good part of, I don't know, a year and a half now. And I finally got her to do it. And today we are going to talk about ayahuasca. And I am really excited for this because I have talked to many, many people over the years about how transformative ayahuasca is. And I know a lot of people are turned off by it because they don't particularly like the purging process, which makes sense. And the purging process usually includes, for the majority of people, vomiting. Sure. I get it. It's not the best. I get it. It's that part is not appealing. But once you get past that, everyone just talks about such positive experiences. Now, not everyone has a positive experience. So I'm just going to put that out as a warning right now. I mean, do your research, do what makes you feel most comfortable. You know, we're just here to talk about our experiences. I haven't done it yet, but I finally got Tiara to go, and I want her to share some of her experience and kind of coming over some of those blocks. But we've talked a lot about healing on this podcast, and you know, we've tried so much surface level healing, and surface level healing works for some people, but for the majority of us doesn't work. So between Tiara and I, we have explored many different avenues of deeper healing, such as hypnotherapy, EFT, QHHT, like the quantum healing. It's like you go into hypnotism.
Right. The Dolores Cannon technique.
Yes. And we have also just tried different avenues of deeper healing. And so we just want to be honest about our experiences on here. And so let's get into it.
So I do want to give a shout out to surface level healing work, because Allie's right. I think that stuff does work for some people. And I honestly think that doing some of that stuff is almost necessary before you can start to do that deeper stuff. I mean, just in my opinion. But I'm in Colombia, and I'll probably be here for a couple months. And while here, I have been giving a lot of thought to doing ayahuasca. Now, the idea of purging, like especially the vomiting piece, is a huge turnoff to me. Like, it is probably the primary reason why so far I have said no to ayahuasca. And I think a deeper part of that is because I do have trauma around vomiting, because when I was younger, I would have really painful bouts of endometriosis that would be painful enough that it would induce vomiting. And so I think subconsciously my mind kind of made this association, which I'll talk about. So for a long time, I've just been like, yeah, no, I don't vomit. And for, I don't know how I did this. I don't know how I was able to do this, but I was able to train myself to never vomit. Like, I haven't vomited in maybe 15 years, 10, 15 years. Which is so interesting, because people tell me about like their experiences getting sick and throwing up, and I'm just like, oh my god, like, you throw up? So yeah, I something in my mind was like, we will never vomit ever, and I haven't. And the idea that I would have to do that was a huge turnoff when it came to ayahuasca. So yeah, Allie's been talking about it and kind of encouraging me to do it and recommending, you know, it as a tool. And for the most part, I'm just always like, okay, well, that's good to know. I'm just going to set that on a shelf somewhere, and maybe I'll come back to it. Maybe I won't. I think what really helped push me over into the ayahuasca journey, into like actually doing it, was I've been dealing a lot with my nerves just kind of being frazzled just from a lot of transition and change and unknowns. And I've been struggling a lot to like surrender. And to the point where it's just like, I kind of get into the cycle where I just want to give up and quit and go back home and leave. And I was like, you know, if there's a better way to exist that would make me at least feel like my nervous system isn't on fire all the time, I think I'd be willing to explore that. So we're in a couple WhatsApp groups that have like different healing resources. And I saw that one of the groups I've been in for a while had recommended a ayahuasca journey hosted by a group called Calibri Gardens. And I actually found them last year and I thought they were doing some really cool stuff with some of the different healing sessions and journeying sessions with not just ayahuasca, but things like San Pedro and Bufo and some of the other hallucinogens that come from nature that they all call medicine. Like here, they refer to that stuff as medicine, which I think is really cool because essentially it is medicine. It just depends on the intention. So I found this opportunity and it was an overnight opportunity. And I was like, you know what? Let me just try this out. Like the vomiting piece, I think I can manage. Now, I wasn't convinced that I was going to vomit at all. Like I was like convinced that I would get into this and probably wouldn't vomit. But I was hoping I would still at least have some type of experience. And I did. But yeah, I did not actually end up vomiting. And I'll explain a little bit more about that. So there was only like maybe six of us going into this session. There wasn't a lot of us. There's like six of us. Some of them had done it before. And like the whole thing was that you do a pre-session where everyone kind of meets on Zoom, a Zoom meeting, and we talk about our intentions and we share that. And then you go into the session. And then after the session, while you're still there, you kind of sit around the fire and share your experiences. And then we had a post-integration session where you share again the things that you discovered, your experience online on another Zoom call. So it was like a whole process. And it was just kind of meant to prepare you, make sure you got a proper intention set, go into the journey, and then provide you with the support you need to do further integration, which I think is fantastic. Like, I think these type of experiences require significant integration, especially if you want to make long-term significant change. And the guy who was hosting for us even mentioned, like, you know, when you do these drugs or these substances, they expand the mind's ability to rewire itself, which I think is awesome. So we were told that post-ceremony for like maybe a week, we would kind of be in this space where our mind is primed to rewire and change our negative destructive patterns. We just have to be intentional about wanting to do that. So there's just a lot of great stuff that came from being able to do this in a group context, in a group setting, because you had that additional support, which I thought was really, really valuable for me, especially it being my first session. So we ended up going out like into the mountains outside of Medellin. So going into an area called Santa Elena, which is actually gorgeous. Like it's up in the hills, but it's also so, so cute and like very quaint and quiet. And like you look and there's just like hillsides for miles and miles and greenery, and it's lush and it's just so beautiful. And they actually have this big maloca, or like what I guess visually we would call a hut, like a giant hut with like the leaves over the top, and it's like built of wood. And in the middle they have a fire pit. So we get to the maloca, and then we kind of all start to get a little bit more comfortable. And then in the maloca on each side, they have mats with blankets, and they separated us, like guys on one side and the women on the other side. Now, I don't know why they did that. I don't know if it's like energetically significant for some reason or if it's just tradition. I don't know. But they did separate us by the sexes. So we kind of all ended up getting our mats and like laying our blankets down and getting comfortable. And then we ended up sitting in the fire, around the fire pit, and we ended up sharing our intentions. And then we also ended up doing something with coca and tobacco. So they have like this thing where they pass around, it's like a coca powder and then a tobacco that you, it's like a, I don't know, it's like a smear or like a balm that you take and you're supposed to consume that, and it's supposed to help ground you. And then they gave us the option to do something called repé, which is the smoke that they blow up your nose that's supposed to also like help ground. Now, I didn't end up doing the repé because I was told that if it's your first time, it's a very intense experience. And apparently some people have done the repé and not been able to do the ayahuasca because the repé itself was so intense. So I was like, all right, well, I'm not going to do the repé this first time. Some other people did. And again, it's supposed to help ground you and help prime and prepare your body for the ayahuasca. But if it's your first time, apparently it can be more intense than that. So I pass on that. So I want to say we were there maybe about an hour before we actually ended up taking the ayahuasca. And they had a taita. So I don't know what you would call it, like a taita. I don't know what the translation is for taita. But essentially the elder from the tribe who knows the rituals when it comes to the ayahuasca and activating those energies, he was kind of the one leading the session, especially when it comes to the energetics behind it. And he was doing his chants. They were going around and they were using a, it looks like they were just using like maybe burning wood to sage and cleanse the energy. And they were doing that regularly. So like throughout the entire journey, they would walk around and do that just to make sure the energy stayed pure. And interesting thing, before I went, I ended up telling our host that I have some health issues, specifically around like hypertension, the heart, blood pressure. And he told the taita. And the taita actually ended up pulling me aside and he had some questions for me about it. Now, I was assured before I went in that I was clear to go, regardless of my health issues, that it would be fine, that the medicine would scan my body and, you know, pinpoint some of the other health issues that need attention. But he was actually able to check my pulses and told me that I had a lot of heat in my body, which I know is 100% accurate because I've been going to acupuncturists and Chinese medicine specialists who have told me the exact same thing. So I just thought it was so cool that he was able to pick up on that in like 2 minutes. And one of the things he recommended was sage and water to help cool the body. Now, something else that's really interesting about this is I know specifically for me that issue is tied to my liver because the liver is tied to our emotions and I have a lot of repressed emotions. And so my liver right now energetically is completely overwhelmed with the weight of all the suppressed and repressed emotions. And that's creating heat in my body. It's affecting my hormones in other different ways. So it all made total freaking sense. And I just thought it was so cool that he had that intuitive ability to just pick up on it. And I was like, oh yeah, you're legit. So when we actually started taking the medicine, it was given in like a shot glass, right? Like a tiny little shot glass that the taita chanted over it. And he gave us each a shot and we just shoot it back. It tasted awful. Like it was literally awful. And the consistency was kind of like cough syrup. And it actually tasted a lot like cough syrup too. And so what they did is we took the shot and then they gave us some water to like rinse our mouth out and then we spit it out. So I ended up doing my shot and everyone kind of did in subsequent order. We went back to our mats to reflect and sit. And I want to say I was maybe sitting there for like an hour before I felt anything. And the whole thing with me is that I tend to get very mental. So I was sitting there in my mind like, wondering, oh my gosh, am I going to throw up? Is vomit going to come? Like, why haven't I had an experience yet? Am I wasting my money? I better get my money's worth because I paid $170 for this experience and I'm going to feel some kind of way if I don't get my money's worth. Like, that's what my mind was literally doing for an hour. And so I started hearing, like, I don't know if this was the medicine talking to me or just beings or entities, but I just started hearing some chatter. And they were just like, you know, you need to get out of your head. You got to get out your head. You got to relax. You got to let the medicine do its thing. Why don't you go to sleep? How about you do that? And I was just like, go to sleep. Why the fuck would I do that? And just like resisting. So eventually I got comfortable and I started to drift into like that weird phase in between sleep and wakefulness. I didn't go fully to sleep. It was just, I kind of slipped into like that, I don't know, beta wave state. And then I don't know what the fuck happens, but the medicine activated and I got hit with a bunch of emotion. Like so much intense repressed emotion. And the emotion that I was hit with most was like pain. Now, what was interesting is right when this started, the medicine said to me, I call her Mother Ayahuasca. She said, you know, you are focusing so much on vomiting and throwing up. Why? And I was just like, wait a minute, why am I focusing so much on the throwing up and vomiting piece? I don't know. And she was alluding that it was me trying to control the process because my intention was about releasing control. And so I was just like, ah, shit, I went into this doing exactly what I said I don't want to do anymore. So it made me reflect on how and why I was trying to control an experience and trying to like make myself vomit, make myself purge. Because for a little bit there, I was trying to like see, okay, is something going to come up? Can I make myself come up, make something come up? Like, what do I need to do? But I didn't vomit, but I did still purge because I kept going through this is really weird. I kept going through this experience where I felt like I was heaving, like kind of like how you dry heave. But instead of vomits coming out, I would get hit with emotion. And so Mother told me that whole experience I had when I was younger, when I vomited and I was in pain, I made this association where I associated vomiting with pain, and that a lot of my control issues are tied to trying to avoid pain. And so what she did is she released some of that pain that I was carrying in the form of emotion. And so it just hit me at once. I just like started bawling. Like I think I spent the majority of my journey crying. And again, that was just me, again, working through a lot of repressed stuff. So a lot of the stuff I was feeling was pain, hurt, betrayal, like just a lot of the stuff that maybe has just been sitting there that I haven't sat with or processed. So that went on for a while. And then I started to transition into like, more into surrender, the surrender piece, and like why that's hard for me. And Mother told me something very interesting. She was like, you know, when it comes to surrender, surrender is love. And if you don't allow love, then you cannot allow surrender. So I started to go through this journey around what love means and what that looks like and how if you resist love in any way, shape, or form, whether that's for yourself, for another person, it makes surrender very difficult.
I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt you, and I hope you're okay with me sharing this, but I find that really interesting how you say that, because Tiara and I see the same acupuncturist, and recently had appointments, and what I find super interesting is that he asked her the same question he asked me, because our appointments were like 2 days apart, where he asked if we were in love. And then the next question for her, I didn't get the follow-up question, but specifically Tiara got the follow-up question of, are you open to love?
Right. And I told him yes, even though the answer probably was no.
Oh, but... yeah. And I'm sure he knew. I'm sure he was like, yeah, okay.
Right. Because so I totally lied to him.
Because he's very talented.
Yeah. No, he triggers the hell out of me too, but in a good way. So I don't know why I did this, but eventually once it started transitioning into that love piece, I was like, nope, 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 resist, resist, resist. And then I wouldn't fully surrender to it. And it's interesting because I post-session, I heard other people talk about this experience with the plant where you kind of have to surrender to the plant first before you can really get deeper into what it wants to show you. And apparently, people have experiences where they resist that surrender piece and they fight the plant. Now, I will say that I did go in there with the intention of fighting. I did do that. I probably shouldn't have done that, but I did. And I was like, no, I'm not going down without a fight. Like, it's just, I can't, for whatever reason, I can't do that. I got to resist and fight at least a little bit. So I didn't.
A little.
I didn't pay attention to the time, right? Like, I think it was you, Allie, who told me that when you go into sessions like this, like, you kind of lose your concept of time. So
I did say that.
Yeah. So in my mind, my journey is like an hour. Oh, I felt like an hour, but realistically, it was probably close to 6 or 7. So I kind of got to this phase where they were like, all right, we need you to surrender because we want to show you these things about love. And I was just like, nope. I'm good. Thanks. And they're like, you need to surrender and you need to do it now. And I didn't realize this, but according to one of the archangels we work with, that whole fight went on for 2 hours. 2 hours. I was resisting the medicine. Eventually, I was like, you know, if I keep doing this, this is going to be my entire journey. I'm not going to get anything else from it. I've put in the fight. I want to fight. I'm not going to win. Let me just surrender and just let this go. So I did eventually get to that after 2 hours of battling. I did eventually. And then after that, I started to journey into some of the karma I've been carrying from heartbreak. Now, I'm so grateful that the plant did this for me. But I also had the chance to interact in a vision with my twin soul, with whom I've not been in contact with for some time. And I didn't even set the intention to see him. I didn't even think about it, honestly. Like, I was like, it'd be nice to see him, but it wasn't my intention necessarily. And I ended up having a vision of a gentleman. He had like a cloak or like a hoodie. Like, I couldn't see his face until he approached me. Then he removed the hoodie and I saw it was him. And like at that point is when I probably lost it emotionally. Like, I mean, I was already crying, but the crying turned into like the deepest sobs. And I was just so happy to see him. And like, I remember seeing him in the vision and him seeing my emotional reaction and then reacting back to me, like kind of being startled that I was so emotional to see him. And then at that point, we embraced, and then like the sobbing continued for like the next hour. But it ended up being something I think I really needed. And so, you know, to the medicine, I'm so grateful that I had that chance to witness him and see him and interact with him. And I remember thinking in my mind, like, oh my gosh, I have so much I want to say to him and express to him, and I need to apologize, and I need to say this, and I need to say that. And just not being able to get anything out, and just like sobbing and hugging him in this energetic embrace and not wanting to let go. So it was such a really beautiful, profound experience. Now, eventually, like toward the later half of my journey, I started to like feel like I was gonna vomit. And what I noticed, which was also really, really interesting, is like the more I surrendered, the more I felt the need to like physically vomit. Like, it was almost like the surrender piece was necessary if I wanted to eventually get a point where I could purge that way. But for the most part, a lot of the purging was emotions coming up. It was like me trembling or shaking or like twitching or being restless. Like, that was a way that I was purging and releasing. The crying was also a form of purging. And a couple times where I did get close to like physically vomiting, nothing came up. So like I would go through like the dry heave, and like my body would convulse, and then like nothing would come up. And so I didn't know if that was just like still a block or if it was because my stomach was so empty, because my stomach was very, very empty. Like, we hadn't had anything to eat for like a full day. But here I am, like sitting here listening to all these other people like blow their purge their entire stomach contents up, and I'm just like, well, how come that's not happening to me, and blah blah blah. But I do think in my next experience I'll probably get closer to like that purging process the way the medicine intends for it to be. I just think that there's some layers I need to continue to work through before I'll get to that. So towards the end of my journey, I would say, was when I started to realize the impact and how incredibly profound it was and how grateful I am that I did it. And, you know, I got the impression too that the medicine didn't show me more than I needed, that this was a very introductory level experience, that, you know, for the most part, I was just barely scratching the surface of some of the stuff that was there. I kind of got the impression that Mother didn't want to overwhelm me too soon, too quickly. So my journey probably ended maybe a little before everyone else's did. I'm not quite sure. I just remember sitting awake. I stayed awake the entire time, by the way. Like, a lot of people did sleep, because apparently when you sleep, you will sometimes lucid dream. The medicine will take you through dreams. But I could not sleep. Like, I stayed awake from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. the next morning. Like, just in awe and tired from fighting and just excited, but also like nervous and restless, and I just didn't sleep at all. So I was awake and I was just kind of looking around, and I noticed that people were out of sleep. Some people were still journeying. Some people were in quiet reflection. But I will say that my journey probably ended around 6 a.m., 7 a.m. Now, the interesting thing about ayahuasca is that for the next couple days, I continued to purge. Now, not like vomiting, but just like twitching or movement or feeling restless, or like even just emotions coming up. Like the emotions that I was feeling with my twin soul when I saw him, that came up multiple times. Like I would think about the experience and get emotional. And I probably still will for like a very long time. But yeah, I continue to purge. And I want to say at this point, I am 4 days? We did that on Saturday. As of this recording, yeah, it's been like 4 days. And so far, it's been an incredibly impactful experience. And I would absolutely do it again in a heartbeat. And I would recommend it to anyone who's ready to do some of that deeper level of healing. But it's going to require being able to surrender to the plants. I don't recommend you do what I do and go into this with the intent to fight. You go in this with the intent to surrender. So I would say that was my journey, my first journey in a nutshell. Again, very, very positive. And in our ceremony, our taita actually did a cleansing ceremony. So we did this thing where the man got up and sat, and he did like this cleansing ceremony using like sounds. I think he had like feathers, and some other things, and he was chanting over them. And then he did the same thing with the women. Again, they call it a cleansing ceremony. I didn't know this was going to be part of the process, but apparently it's supposed to help, you know, remove some of the things that are no longer serving you energetically from your energetic space and your aura. So afterwards, we had our post-session. We had our post-session sharing, and I did not want to share. Like, I didn't feel comfortable sharing. I wasn't going to share. I was sitting on my mat. Everyone else was in front of the fire pits, and I was just like, no, I'm just going to sit here and then just pretend I'm sleeping. And then they started doing this process where they started picking up the mats and getting the blankets, and the taita came over to me and was like, why aren't you over there? And I was like, man, this is the taita. I can't fight with a taita. So I was like, all right, all right. So I ended up going over to the fire pit and did end up sharing a little bit of my experience. And it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be to share. I don't know why I thought it was going to be such a terrible thing for me to share anything. But it wasn't that bad at all. And, you know, everyone was very supportive. So from that point, we sort of mingled a little bit, and they have like a little shop there where you can buy mementos of your experience. So like jewelry, and like they had sprays. I think they had like some incense and some really pretty earrings and stuff. I bought like some spray. It was like a spray that was created by, I don't know if it was the taita that made it or who made it, but it was like lavender and like some other really soothing, grounding herbs that were combined into a spray that smells amazing. So I ended up getting that. And then after that, we ended up heading back to Medellin. And so the experience went from like 9 p.m. the prior day, and then we were done 11 a.m. the next day. So that was my journey in a nutshell, and I'm still reflecting and unpacking it. I journaled a little bit, but some other things are probably still going to continue to come up, and other things actually have continued to come up. But I think the big thing with experiences like this is making time and space for integration, because that's when you can actually start to permanently make shifts in regards to some of the things you've discovered in your journeys. So I'm hoping to do this again in a month. I feel like I need to do this regularly. So I set the intention of, if I'm able to do ayahuasca once a month, at least for a year, just to see where I can get when it comes to some of the deeper stuff that I know is still sitting there that needs my attention. And I think Allie's gonna do an experience too, her first one.
Yeah, it's on my plan. It's definitely a plan of mine. I have done many different avenues of deeper healing. I didn't, you know, ayahuasca is obviously something I have always considered an option, but I have also had other people tell me, you don't need it. And I'm just like, okay, well, if I don't need it, then why go? But just hearing so many other people's experiences, I'm just like, I just want to go out of sheer curiosity. And the reason why I pushed Tiara to do it is because I've been working with Tiara for a better half of 3 years, and her and I have also done a lot of working together because we have the gift of channel and we can both read tarot. And so like we have no problem getting information. Where Tiara struggles is the integration piece, is applying all of that knowledge. And so it's like, I know with Tiara specifically, I was just like, you have the tools, you have the resources. So why is nothing shifting? And she was like, I don't know. And we hear a lot of, I don't know. And I was like, okay, well, we've hit a wall. It's time. And she was just like, no, I can't do the vomiting. And I'm just like, Tiara, vomiting is only a small, teeny fraction of this journey. And I think it's really important for people who might be questioning, like, there's a couple things about the plant that I don't think people really understand. Is, yes, you do need to do like a pre-ceremony, like you need to prep your body. That is a very key important piece. Another key important piece about it is the plant isn't meant to show you more than what you're ready for. And I think people just like build it up in their heads about vomiting and what if it's a bad experience? What if it's a bad journey? But the plant knows. And, you know, you have experts there who to help guide you, to help, you know, cleanse your energy, as Tiara said, and like kind of walk you through the process and make sure it is a positive experience. Like, I've heard 1,000 more wonderful experiences than I have. I haven't even heard of a bad experience, not me personally. Like, I've read things online, but have to be careful with that stuff because you have to ask the question of, well, did that person prep their body did they prep their body properly? Did they go in with a specific intention? Did they go in like, were they mentally ready for this? And you don't even need to specifically be mentally ready for this because I know TR definitely was not. But you want to try to go in with an open mind. And I do find it really interesting that the reason why she went was because she couldn't surrender. And she went on the journey with the intention of, what's the deal with my control issues? And then she was trying to control the journey and she fought with the plant for 2 hours.
Right.
So, and she intentionally knew that she was going to fight with the plant.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what? Like, doesn't that like completely defeat the purpose of why you wanted to do this to begin with?
Yes, it does, but my ego felt good about it, so I will admit that. And again, I don't recommend anyone else do that. That was just something I did.
And I think that's a really important piece, is that Tiara is very egoic. She's all ego.
Yes.
So I think that's another really important piece to all of this, is that, and we've talked a lot about the ego on this podcast, but I think it just highlights how freaking powerful the ego really is, and how much we as humans let our ego control our actions, control our thoughts, control our behaviors. Because going into the spiritual side of all of this, that's all energy. The ego, even though the ego is just like its own separate like entity, especially if you've ever even studied psychology, everything is energy. Our thoughts, our behaviors, our speech. Our speech is so important to what we are projecting out into the universe, the energy that we're projecting. And like, if people really want to unlock like their healing potential, you really got to start looking at the ego, because the ego controls so much of our lives. And unfortunately, so many of us just don't have the self-awareness to know that's what the ego is doing.
So, you know, you mentioned the preparation process. I didn't speak on this, but I did do a preparation process that involved like eliminating specific foods. So they told us prior to going into the ayahuasca that we wanted to do like this preparation process that was about intention setting, but also about eliminating certain foods that could interfere with the ability of the plant to do its job. And so things that we had to eliminate was stuff like dairy, heavy oils. We couldn't have pork. We couldn't have beef. What they wanted us to do was eat like mostly clean, fresh foods, fruits and vegetables, and maybe like stuff like eggs, fish. And I think we could have chicken. But everything else was completely eliminated. You couldn't drink, you couldn't do marijuana, no tobacco, no vaping. All that stuff needed to be eliminated. And so I, for the most part, did comply, but I still also cheated. So like the day before, I ended up having like a chicken empanada or something like that, which is fried. And so like I had like little stuff like that. And I think I had like a bag of potato chips. But it was, I still eliminated. And I do think that the elimination that I did was sufficient enough for my experience. Now, depending on where you go, like, so for example, one of the people who attended was talking about how he did an experience in Peru that was ayahuasca, and how over there, they're more strict. Like you're doing like a 2-week elimination and they're monitoring and tracking and making sure that you're adhering to it. And if you don't adhere to it, you don't get to participate. Like that's how strict they are. But here, it didn't seem to be as strict. And the individual who hosted, he even said to us, like, you know, we do recommend post-ceremony that you continue the diet for at least 2 days. But I asked around and everyone was like, nope, I'm getting a cheeseburger and fries and a steak and I don't care. So I think everyone kind of has their ways of going about the process. But if I needed to do it, or when I do it again, I'll probably do the same thing. I'll probably still do the elimination process because for me, I feel like it was helpful. I don't know. It's just something about purifying and cleansing your body before going into that experience that I thought was very helpful, at least for me personally.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone's going to have their own approach to it. I would recommend that you would do their recommendations, but I mean, to each their own. But with all of that said, I would say that the hardest part to the spiritual journey or any journey, healing journey, whatever, you know, adjective you want to put to it, is the surrendering piece. Because we have to surrender to so many things in this journey. We have to surrender to our limiting beliefs. And that could be a big one, I know, especially in 2025. A big one is the limiting beliefs around money and, you know, needing to rewire people's perspective around money, surrendering to money, looking at our relationship with money, understanding that money is an energy, and understanding that money is abundance. It's just people don't know the language of money. And I would say that's a really, really big one. I would say that's like 99% of everyone's fear right now is surviving because there's not enough money. And I know for me, that was a really big part of my personal journey, was the money piece. Was, you know, they just kept saying, like, you need to stop putting all of these worries into money, because if you are worried about it, then you're blocking that energy. You're blocking from receiving money. And I was like, okay, I understand that that makes sense. But at the same time, that is so much easier said than done, because unfortunately, this 3D reality, money is the currency exchange right now. It's like you need money to do things. You need money to live. And so it's just like, how do you remove that block when you know that money is something, when you know that in the matrix, money is the currency of exchange? So it's like, I understand the concept of needing to surrender around that, but it's also so much easier said than done. And that's why surrendering is so hard. That's why, like, part of the healing process is so hard. And I'm using money as an example because I know that's what literally everyone is worried about right now.
Yeah. And, you know, I have similar blocks around money. And it's so funny because, like, after I left this experience, like, I immediately started making a list of all the stuff I need to work through in subsequent experiences. And that's on the list for me. And, you know, nothing around money came up in this session, but I know it's going to come up in future sessions. As a matter of fact, I kind of have an idea of some of the things I probably will need to journey through in future sessions, just based on, like, what I know about my soul history and what I've already felt is there. Like, I left feeling like, oh my God, there is so much more shit here that I need to look at and get to. So I'm looking forward to, like, exploring that component too, because for me, I at least know a piece of it is generational.
Yeah, generational trauma, you guys, it is not fun, because a lot of people don't understand it and how it's passed on in our DNA. And it's like, there's like things there that there is so much there that is out of our control. It's out of our privy of knowledge. It's out of so many things. And so it's like so many things make up a human being. And it's like, we don't even know why it's there or how it's there. And it might not even be from this lifetime, which, like, adds a whole nother layer of complexity to it. And it's most likely from a past life, or, you know, down the family line, or generational trauma. And it's just like, I understand why healing is not easy. And I also understand why so many people are turned off by it.
Right. And I know for a fact that some of the stuff that I was feeling that was coming up, like the repressed hurt, was from prior lives. Like, I knew for a fact that it was. Like, I was like, there's way too much of this coming up for it all to have been just this lifetime. Because that's what it felt like. It just felt like so much. And I was just like, I don't remember experiencing this much pain and hurt in this lifetime. This has to be, like, going back at least to some other places and timelines in the past. So, like, absolutely. And I think at least one of the persons spoke of prior lives coming up in their experience and journey. So it's not uncommon for you to either experience emotions or beliefs from prior lifetimes, or even be shown prior lifetimes in some type of way. I will say for me, my journey was mostly mental and emotional. Like, I didn't have a lot of visions. I didn't sleep, so I didn't lose a dream or anything like that. I only had a few visions, like maybe like I could probably count on my hand 3 or 4 visions that I actually saw. And everything else was just like words or, you know, thoughts or like hearing things or sensing things or feeling things. And so again, that was just for me, but I do hope maybe in the future I can maybe have more visions. I did notice, and I don't know if this is something other people experience, I'm sure it is, that once the medicine activated, like the colors in the room changed. So like I was looking at the walls and at the huts, or I call it the maloca, the halls, the walls of the maloca, and like the leaves that cover the maloca, and they started to like shimmer into like a, I don't know, like a, maybe like a pink shimmer a little bit. And I don't quite know what it meant or if it was symbolic of anything, but I did notice like some visual changes and slight visual hallucinations during my journey.
Yeah, I have talked to many people and most people have visions. So I would like one in it. When I was talking to Tiara about it, I had the impression that everyone had visions, but apparently that's not true.
Right. And apparently not everyone vomits either.
That I did know. And this very, very rare phenomenon, nothing can happen. I actually know someone personally who I talked to and I asked, have you ever done ayahuasca? And they're like, yeah, actually I went and literally nothing happened. And I was like, what does that mean? It was like, I don't know, just nothing happened. Like, I didn't vomit, I didn't journey, I didn't see visions, nothing came up. And I was just like, huh. So I do have a friend who has gone a few times to ayahuasca. And I said, hey, I just had this conversation with someone who said nothing happened. And they even confirmed it can happen. It's super rare, but it actually can happen. Like, she went to a ceremony and one of the people, because when you do these, you go in groups. Sometimes groups are smaller, sometimes groups are bigger, but someone in their group, the same thing, nothing happened. They even took like 3 cups and nothing happened. So it's a very rare phenomenon, but it's something that can happen.
Well, and I was considering taking a second cup actually after the first hour. I really contemplated going to get another one until it activated. Like once I started to sleep, it activated. But I was thinking about it too. I was like, oh shoot, maybe I need another cup. And I know at least maybe 3 people in our session who did get at least a second cup. So for those people, the second cup was effective. For me, one was effective, but you know, who knows, in subsequent experiences, I might need more than one. I don't know, but I have at least let myself release the idea of needing to fight the plants in the future. But I decided that I won't do that anymore.
Yeah, you're going to save yourself a lot of time too.
Right. I don't know. I went into that and I was like, no, you can't make me. But eventually they did make me. So, and I'm grateful for that.
I think TR is learning that control literally is an illusion, even though her ego likes to tell her, no, control is the only thing. It's the only way to live your life. And I think ayahuasca has, because TR, I know a part of TR knows that control is just an illusion. And I'm just like, why aren't you implementing that? Why aren't you applying that knowledge? And her ego just won't let her.
Yeah. So the good thing about journeying, I noticed, like, once the medicine kicks in, the ego goes quiet. Like, I felt like my ego was still there, but it was kind of just observing. It wasn't actively engaging. Once you surrender, it steps back. But it was, as long as I was fighting, yeah, my ego was there. And my ego was going insane. To the point where I'm pretty sure I heard several entities laughing at me, which is fine, because I was laughing too. And that's the thing about purging, is that not only will it be one specific emotion, but the purging could be multiple emotions. So like, I did laugh a lot. I cried a lot. I stirred, I again, trembled, I shook, I I do this thing where I will like sway, like sometimes. And what I really like about these types of experiences is that they actually, after about an hour and a half or so into the dose, they will play music, and they will play like very, I don't know, I want to call it maybe like ancestral music, like just very high vibe tribal music that they would actually have someone there with an instrument playing and singing. And it was so beautiful. And I remember a couple times being in the journey and like hearing the music, and it kind of helped guide the session, guide the experience, keep me from maybe going, getting stuck in a loop or going into like the wrong direction. Like it just kind of kept you in that safe, comfortable, healing space. At least for me, the music did that. And I loved having the music there, like almost like I needed to have that music there. And a couple of times when I was feeling a little overwhelmed, I would just listen to the music and I would sway with it and I would calm and relax, and then I could get back into what the medicine was trying to show me. So for my experience, like the music component was huge. It was very huge.
And I will also say that because we have the gift of channel, that because we have a lot of information on our soul's history, because I mean, that's kind of the work that we both do in a way. And I did ask Tiara, she was just like, I will say that for the most part, it was actually very validating. And I was like, well, that's awesome, because, you know, it's like, this is what I do for work, and I've been helping Tiara for 3 years. And so it was also very validating for me. And so if you know anything about your soul history or past life, or if you've ever done past life regression or know anything about your generational trauma, like when you do these experiences, it can also be a very validating experience. And I know for Tiara and I, we like validation, even though we get yelled at on a repeated basis for that. And I understand why. They are just like, why do you need validation? You should just trust in your ability. You should trust yourself. You should trust your intuition. But again,
nope,
validation.
Nope.
Yeah, exactly. So it's also really nice to have that validating piece. And I mean, I know for Tiara, she was just like, I needed that. I needed it so badly. And like, I mean, her guide has for 3 years has just been like, stop validating everything. And she's like, I can't help it. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Like, haven't we had this conversation? Like, come on.
So it was a very also validating experience. And I'm assuming if I go, I'm going to also be heavily validated. I don't need validation as much at first, especially when I started channeling. I needed to validate everything like quadruple times.
Yeah.
But I have slowly surrendered to that, because I'm just like, no, I actually trust in my abilities.
Good.
So surrendering is really the only way to find peace, you guys. And I know that's probably going to trigger a lot of you, but it really is true. It's just to trust yourself, trust in the universe, trust in the healing process. Because if you don't put in the work, you're going to stay as you are. You're going to continue to stay worried about everything, in scarcity mindset, have all the fear, have all the anxiety, feel like your life isn't going anywhere, questioning, why am I even on this planet? It's not pleasant to be on this planet right now. There's a lot of stuff going on. And you just got to find the peace in all the chaos. Because if you don't find peace amongst all the chaos, you're just going to continue to have sleepless nights, and you're going to continue to worry, and you're going to continue to spiral and doom scroll and bed rot. And as pleasant as those are on occasion, because I do it too, it's ultimately not healthy.
So I just want to speak to the triggering piece, because yeah, going into something like this, there's a good chance you will be triggered. And I was triggered to death. Like, the whole experience and some of the energies that came through during my experience, like, triggered the bejesus out of me. Like, I don't know that I have ever been so triggered in any one experience, but I felt like it was needed and it was necessary. And a big part of why I felt so triggered was because I was resisting. If I wasn't resisting as much as I was, I probably wouldn't have been as triggered. But no, I was heavily triggered and kind of knew going into the process that I might be. So for anyone who's considering ayahuasca, yeah, there's a chance you might be triggered. But if you're getting triggered in the experience and in the journey, it's because mother feels like that's what you need. So as long as you embrace that and can extract the lesson and apply it post-journey, like, it'll be beneficial for you. So I just wanted to speak on that piece.
So anyone considering, it doesn't have to be ayahuasca, but we always encourage you guys to do deeper healing, whether that's EFT, QHHT, hypnotherapy. You can use modalities if you need validation. Like, Tiara and I go to tarot most of the time, but we also use our gift of channel. So there are ways you can douse, like there are ways, like tea leaves, like there's so many ways to validate. And so, you know, if you are questioning your abilities, this was what modalities are there for. It can be a great source of validation, especially if you're new into your spiritual gifts. But I just wanted to highlight, because we've talked a lot about healing on this podcast, and like, you know, we've talked a lot about Tiara's healing journey specifically because she's going through it right now in real time, in the present. And so this has been a huge, I would say, win for me to finally get her to a place where she could finally do this, because Tiara is a fighter. She has fought with me for years about so many things she did not want to do. And I finally got her to do most of the things.
That is very true. It was just like going into the journey. I was just like, all right, I'm going to fight for a little bit, but eventually I know I'm going to need to do this, right? Like, I don't know, it's the same pattern. I'm working on it, guys. I'm working on it.
And Tiara has a lot of patterns.
Yes, she does.
So I just want to thank everyone for tuning in. And again, this is really about encouraging anyone to do healing work, any type of healing work. Don't care what it is, but I think it's really interesting that one of us finally did do ayahuasca and to share that experience. And I want to thank Tiara for sharing that. And I'm excited to try it. Again, I have done a lot of my healing work, but what I've learned about healing is that healing never ceases, and that's exhausting.
It's so exhausting. Oh my God.
It is. It is. I'm just going to tell you right, like straight up, healing will never cease. There is always things to heal and discover, but also only do what you mentally can handle, because you don't need to figure it all out in this lifetime. This is why we keep reincarnating. This is why they keep sending us back. It's just some people have more things to work out than others, but take your time with it. Have compassion for yourself. And that's the other piece that, and something I had to learn in my healing journey specifically, was to have empathy and compassion for myself, which is extremely difficult. I don't know why it's so difficult, but it really is. And so take your time with it. Don't push past your boundaries so much. It's like, you got to find the balance with boundaries, people. And this is something I've had to highlight with Tiara, because I've noticed that like Tiara was just like, oh, boundaries are great. And then she built up too many, where I'm just like, you know that you're like a fortress, right? And she's like, well, what do you mean? And I was like, Tiara, you have so many freaking boundaries that like you have put up a 10-foot wall and you have locked it. You've like locked the door and thrown away the key. And she was like, oh. And I was just like, so you have no balance. You need balance with your boundaries, because that's what happens. Like, people think, oh, boundaries, like I'm setting all these healthy boundaries. And then if you go too far, it's just like you become a fortress. Like, no one gets access to you and you lose sight of yourself because you're just like boundaries, boundaries, like, oh, I'm being so healthy. And you trick your mind into thinking like, oh, I'm being so healthy. And I'm just like, you have so many boundaries. Like, I don't even see you anymore. And she's just like, oh, I didn't know I did that. And then she reflected and she was just like, oh, yep. I went too far with it. So balance, you guys. Healing and balance. Those are the really the two things that you guys should be focusing on in this lifetime.
Agreed. So, you know, if any of you guys are curious about doing an ayahuasca journey, you know, I did mine in Colombia, but I know that there are several places in South America that you can actually do it. The one we did in Colombia was hosted by Calibri Gardens. I'll include their information in the show notes in case anyone's interested. I do know that they host retreats as well. They do like a 4-day retreat and a 10-day retreat. I'm not sure what the price points are for those, but I can at least share that from my experience with them, that if you decide to do retreats, they will be incredibly transformative. And like the people who put on the session for us were very, very professional. They kept us comfortable. They made sure we were taken care of. They made sure we had everything we needed. I felt safe. And that's really, really important when you're doing journeys like this. So I just want to thank them so much and give them a shout out because they did a phenomenal job. And it's not easy to put on these type of sessions. It's a lot of work for them actually. So I want us to be cognizant of that because if you do decide to do a session, keep that in mind and just make sure that like you give back to them as well, that you're, you know, showing gratitude and being appreciative and at least acknowledging that they're there to help us heal and that they're doing that from, it's coming from a place of love. And so, again, I'll put their information in the show notes for anyone who might be curious or interested in learning more about them and some of the sessions that they hold, because I can't speak highly enough about them.
Yes, and we will update you on different retreats we go on, because I definitely plan on doing it. It's just retreats are hard to find and they're few and far between, and being a woman, it's that much harder.
So, you know, whoever you end up hosting with or doing a session with, you want to make sure that they're trustworthy, that you feel safe. It does require a little bit of research. Like, you're going to have to do a little bit of research, but it'll be worth it in the end, because, you know, if you go into something and you don't feel safe, you don't feel comfortable, you don't feel like you know the individuals who are hosting it, like, you're probably not going to have the same experience. So please do keep that in mind as well.
So I just want to thank everyone. And if you guys have any questions, please feel free to reach out to us. And I mean, you can ask about any healing, like EFT. We did an episode with an EFT practitioner, Sarah Illig. We've had tons of episodes with like transformational coaches, emotional healing coaches. And so please go check out some of those episodes if you are curious about, you know, guests that we've had on this show. And I hope everyone has a fantastic week.
All right. Thank you, guys.